آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. The sixth sitting is about a disease which is common amongst nearly everyone, religious as well as irreligious, al-ghiba, backbiting, and the treatment for it. So far, our discourse centered around the wicked glance and how to keep away from it. We now take up another malady of the internal character, backbiting. It is a defect, an illness, from which we cannot say if any one of the creatures of Allah is safe. Everyone is involved in it, in one way or the other. It is such a severe malady that the Quran has used words for it which it has not employed for any other character defect. Quran says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, don't spy on one another. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and one of you, let not one of you backbite the other. Don't backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا, would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Which one? فَكَرِحْتُمُوهُ, you would abhor it. This verse has placed backbiting at par with eating the flesh of one's dead brother. The seriousness of the crime is reflected in the comparison. First of all, it is human flesh, then a human being who is a brother, and a brother who is dead too. Any human being with the slightest sense of humanity in him can never perpetrate such a thing or even think of it. The Quran says backbiting is like eating flesh of a dead brother. It is a grave sin, a kabira, not an ordinary one. The seriousness of the sin. Backbiting is a sin just as consuming wine, alcohol, eating pork, stealing or robbing are sins, so too is backbiting, just like them. Rather, it is more severe to drink wine or to consume pork is to violate rights of Allah, and the sin pertains to the self of the perpetrator and has no relation with rights of human beings and fellow men. Hence, if Allah will enable the sinner at any time and he repents to him, then he will forgive the sin. But the sin of backbiting, however, pertains to fellow human beings. The principle in such cases is that the sin is not forgiven unless the owner of the rights forgives it. The sinner may make repentance and seek forgiveness for thousands of times, offer salat and observe fasting, but the sin of backbiting will not be forgiven. Allah has said in Hadith Qudsi, I will forgive you my rights, but if you damage my slave physically or his property or his honor, or you violate his rights, then until he pardons you or you repay him his rights, I will not forgive you. The case of rights of fellow men is very serious, huququl ibad, but we have considered it very ordinary and minor. Backbiting is also among rights of fellow men. Definition: what is backbiting? Malghiba. It is to talk about a Muslim behind his back, any Muslim at all, male or female, to talk about a Muslim behind his back in such a way that if he were to know about how he was remembered, he would feel bad. This is backbiting, and it is a sin. Let us then examine ourselves and see how much of what we talk and converse every day includes backbiting other people. Some people argue in their own defense that whatever they say, they will repeat in the presence of their victim. They could say it to his face. That's what people say. They seem to say that backbiting is something that cannot be repeated in the victim's presence. They must know that the criteria of backbiting is not whether they will repeat it in the victim's presence or not, but it is whether he feels bad about these words or not. If the remarks are unpleasant to him, then they have backbitten him and have eaten the flesh of their dead brother. May Allah preserve us. Allahumma ahfazna. Backbiting and slander. A sahabi radiyallahu anhu asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, is it a sin even if the person whom I backbite matches the description? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if what you say about him is really found in him, then you are backbiting him. But if you lie about him and those things are not found in him, then you are mixing slander with backbiting and committing two sins. If a man is a liar and you say to some other man that he is a liar, and your mention of that behind his back as a liar is backbiting, then your mention of that behind his back is backbiting and a sin, provided he feels bad on being called a liar. If he is not a liar and you call him a liar, then you commit two sins: the sin of backbiting and the sin of slander. So backbiting is a grave sin. We must exercise control over our tongue and supplicate Allah to keep us away from it, otherwise we might fall into this sin. Comments of a professor. A professor of a university, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, a professor of a university had read an article on backbiting written by me. He wrote to me, you have condemned backbiting in your article and have said that it is a grave sin, it is unlawful and forbidden, and it must be given up. I have thought over it. I have come to the conclusion that if backbiting is taken away from our lives, then life would become dry without joy. If a few of us sit together and converse on some topic, but exclude backbiting from it, then about what should we talk? Then we only have to say Allah, 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 Allah. And there would be nothing enjoyable to say, no jokes to crack. You have written such a lengthy article and condemned backbiting to such an extent that it seems you want everyone to abandon enjoyment and have no fun in life. Mufti Taqi Usmani says about this professor, he said he was a professor and he concluded according to his mental approach, his own rai and akal, saying, I do not believe that Islam, this is what he concluded from his mental approach, I do not believe that Islam would disallow something in which man is always occupied. And if he does not do so, then there would be no fun. In reply to his letter, I wrote to him, you write that if backbiting would disallow, there would be no fun in life. Accordingly, you would not be able to enjoy your life. That's what you're saying, if you don't backbite anyone. But what do you say of him who backbites you? What if you were the subject? If you were to learn that somebody has said some nasty words about you at such and such gathering, tell me, would you enjoy life or feel otherwise? Simple but effective answer. Let there be one standard for all. The trouble is that everyone cares. This is the trouble with human beings, especially when our nafs is still in the state of An-nafsul ammara, that nafs which commands us with evil. And the radhail is still dominant. The radhail, al-aqlaqur radhila. The trouble is that everyone cares about his own enjoyment. He does not think how he would feel if he is paid back in the same coin when he treats other people as he does. A hadith describes the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as suggesting a prescription which only a Nabi can suggest and no one else can. If we follow that prescription, all the ills of society shall be cured. Subhanallah. If we follow that prescription of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the ills of society shall be cured. And mutual disputes would be solved. All the wrongs that we see around have resulted because we have forgotten the prescription of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is this prescription? It is a hadith which is in Musnad Ahmad from the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ahibba li akhika," love for your brother. Let every one of you love for your brother or your sister. "Ahibba li akhika ma tuhibbu li nafsik," what you love for yourself. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. "Wakrah li ghayrika," and dislike for others. "Ma takrahu li nafsik," that which you dislike for yourself. That is the prescription. "Ahibba li akhika," love for your brother. "Ma tuhibbu li nafsik," what you love for yourself. "Wakrah li ghayrik," and dislike for others. "Ma takrahu li nafsik," that which you dislike for yourself. The deteriorating situation in society is simply because of the dual standard that we practice in our lives. We choose something for ourselves, but for other people we choose what we dislike. We must consider before every step whether we treat other people as we would have them treat us. We must ensure that we do not violate the rights of other people or do injustice to them. We must conduct ourselves in the same manner before we begin to backbite anyone. If he were to speak of me as I wish to speak of him, how would I take it? If we don't like it, then it is backbiting. We must avoid it. People argue that backbiting cannot be avoided. But I tell you that backbiting is by choice. It is voluntary. And it is not involuntary. If to backbite is by choice, then to refrain from it is also by choice. So we must abstain from it. When is backbiting allowed? However we are allowed to backbite, if we can save a Muslim from possible loss. For instance, a man asks you about the character of a third person with whom he wishes to wed his daughter, and you know that he has a bad character, then you must disclose it to your inquirer because that will save him and his daughter from the bad character. Your disclosure would not amount to backbiting. Similarly, if you know that a man is a cheater who cheats people of their money, then you must warn other people to beware of him, telling them that he is not reliable with money. Your conduct is not backbiting. In both cases, you protect people from loss. When other people have to be cautioned to protect them from loss in this world or the next, it is allowed to disclose someone's shortcomings. It does not amount to backbiting. Backbiting a sinner. People believe that it is proper to backbite a fasik, a transgressor and a sinner. This statement is not correct. Just as it is disallowed to backbite a pious person, so too it is disallowed to backbite a sinner or a fornicator. Of course, if a person perpetrates a sin publicly and does not mind being remembered by that sin, then it is not disallowed to remember him by that sin in his absence. For example, a man may be drinking wine in public and lets everyone know that he drinks it. If we mention him as one who drinks wine, it is not backbiting, because he does not mind that reference, and everybody knows about that. He doesn't mind it. However, if he conceals this, he takes a drink in privacy or does something and he doesn't want people to know, and you come and you reveal that now. If he conceals this and does not like other people to know, and it pains him if he is remembered by it, then it is forbidden, mamnu, to mention him in reference to the sin in his absence and reveal his faults to others. If what we say is true, it is backbiting him, nevertheless, and it is mamnu, forbidden. Thus, if we do not hold our tongue in control, it will cause us to sin. It will cause us to sin. And just as it is disallowed to backbite anyone, so too it is not permitted to listen to it. Don't sit down and listen to it. And you don't want to move because you don't want to break the person's heart. Maulana mentions about this also. He says, a way to save ourselves from backbiting is not to talk about people. Don't talk about people. Therefore, Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatullah alayhi wa nawwar Allahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi ulumi ma'amim, used to say, do not mention and speak about anyone. Do not mention anyone at all. Neither a good remembrance nor a bad remembrance. If you remember anyone with his good qualities and you start to talk, yeah, you know, so and so and so, and yeah, he has some good qualities. But you know what's going to happen? The shaitan will get you ultimately to mention his bad qualities. So you will say, you know, he's such a good person. But then the but comes in. But he has these bad habits, and the shaitan gets you there. Therefore, a way to safeguard ourselves is don't speak of anyone else at all. Let's talk, me and you talk, and let's talk. Let's forget. Forget other people. Worry about yourself. Besides, what is the use referring to someone else? One must think of oneself. If one is worried about his own shortcomings, why would he search for faults in other people? A sick person does not worry about the sickness of other people, you know. Worries about his own sickness. If a man looks out for his own faults and seeks to correct them, then he does not backbite other people. Bahadur Shah Zafar has said very well about it in Urdu, translation of which is, those who are unmindful of their own faults, look out for them in other people. Those who are unmindful of their own faults, look out for them in other people. But when their eyes fell on their own evils, none else was evil in their sight. They realized that they were the worst. May Allah enable us to look at the faults of our nafs and to correct them. A practical cure for backbiting. I venture to explain the sayings of Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi concerning backbiting. If anyone backbites another or engages in vain talk before a salik, and alhamdulillah we are treading this path of suluk and tasawuf for the islah, tazkiyah, betterment, to remove the ravail. So Hazrat is saying, if anyone backbites another or engages in vain talk before a salik, and he has not the strength to disallow him, then he must go away from there. And not worry that he would feel bad about it, that the person would feel bad about it, or that he himself may feel bad about it, that he has offended the person by going away. For it is more important to be cautious of one's deen than of breaking someone's heart. If it is not possible to get away from there suddenly, then he should excuse himself and give a pretext, or he should touch upon a commendable subject and fasi isa. We have mentioned earlier that just as it is not allowed to backbite anyone, so too it is not allowed to listen to one who backbites. If a person is present at a place where another begins to backbite someone, then he should stop him from proceeding further. Aki or sister, stop. Bas. There are two ways to stop him. The first is to tell him clearly to refrain from backbiting. telling him in so many words that it is a sin. If he cannot tell him so, if he can't tell him so, then the second method is to introduce a new topic so that the evil is stopped. If he cannot do either of these two things, then he should get up from that gathering and go somewhere else. Let hearts break. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi also made known a principle, which is that one should not care if anyone's heart breaks, because it is more important to protect one's deen from breaking than anyone's heart. Our condition is that we go to extremes. In everything we do, we go to extremes. On the one end, we do not give a thought to rights of fellow creatures. Whether the rights pertain to their bodies or properties, we don't care about hukukul ibad. On the other hand, there are those of us who care about these rights, hukukul ibad, but they go to such extremes as to neglect the faraiz and the obligations imposed on them by Shariat. Salat at the right time. The wife of a physician once told me, says Mufti Taqi, that her husband was a very good man otherwise, but he did not offer salat during the hours of his clinic. When she advised him to offer prayers at their time, even during clinic timings, he said, "I am doing khidmat. I am serving people and giving rights of fellow creatures." He's involved in hukukul ibad. How can I stand in prayer while the patients wait for me? So when he came home, he offered the missed salat of Asr, Maghrib with Isha. He argued that there was no harm if he missed salat while he was occupied in service to humanity. He must know that service to fellow creatures is not fardul ayn. It's not an individual obligation. This is not fardul ayn. It is fardul kifah. It is fardul kifaya. It is not fardul ayn in the same way as salat is. Salat is fardul ayn, an individual obligation. But service to fellow creatures is not fardul ayn in the same way as salat is. Besides, service to humanity does not bar him from offering salat. He could easily have offered 4 rakat of Asr prayers and resumed examining patients. But he found a pretext to postpone salat. This is going to the extremes and results from not having a full understanding of deen. That is why Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that it is not proper to avoid breaking someone's heart at the cost of breaking deen. Therefore, it does not matter if anyone feels it bad at heart, if you stop him from backbiting and he feels bad, it doesn't matter. If you stop him from backbiting someone, or you get up and go away from there, your responsibility for not hurting anyone ceases within the lawful limits. But once there is risk of committing a sin, you are not bound to worry about that. Let him break his heart. Looking after others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone ignores, and this is very, very deep. Let's pay attention to this. This is very deep. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if anyone ignores his lot in the akhirat, in the hereafter, he ignores his lot in the akhirah, in devoting himself to improving someone's life in this world because he's busy behind them, then Allah puts that man over him in authority in this world. He had ruined his own akhirah for the sake of that man's current life. He will now ruin your current life. Explanation. It is known from experience that those people who make an unlawful earning so that their wife and children, they make an unlawful haram earning so that their wife and children may live happily, find later that those very children dominate them. This man displeased Allah in order to please his wife and children, and ruined his hereafter to build his children's world. So Allah put them over him in this very world. And this is from experience. Therefore, do not break your religion to avoid breaking someone's heart. In the same way, a person doesn't disclose his duties towards Allah, and he neglects his portion in the akhirat because he is too busy over someone or family or children or working to please them and to send them to school. Later on in life, they cause problem for him and they ruin his life. And Allah puts them over him right in this very world. Courage required to avoid backbiting. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, La ta'ata li makluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it involves disobedience to the Creator. It is not necessary to listen to someone or comfort someone in such things as lead to the displeasure of Allah. You must remember that nothing is accomplished without effort. So if you agree that backbiting is a bad thing and sinful, which will ruin your akhirat, then you must put it in effort. You must put in an effort and use your courage. Allah will help you then. Allah will help you then. And it will be easy for you to avoid the sin. As Maulana mentioned, courage, put in the courage, Allah's help will come. Backbiting is when he minds. Someone asked Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi the following question. If in close informality, we tell someone something which is disliked in the apparent meaning of the words, but because of the close informality, it is not to the level of disliking, then is it allowed and does it amount to backbiting or not? To simplify, in other words, some people have a very close, intimate relationship. They are good partners, good friends. They are bosom friends who joke together and they say certain things to one another in a light vein. Now, if one of them speaks of the other in his absence, in words which are derogatory on the face of it, but in keeping with their friendship, they are used to addressing one another, then is it allowed to speak such words, or do they amount to backbiting? This is the question. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said in reply, if there is a dislike or the words are derogatory, then that is enough to be disallowed, no matter how they are said and received. And if there is doubt about the desirability or dislike, there's doubt about that, then too they are worth frowning over. However, if it is certain that there is no dislike, then it is outside the limits of backbiting. It's not backbiting. The summary of this saying of Maulana Tanwi's answer is, if there is a 100% certainty that the friend about whom the remarks are passed will not mind them if he heard them, then the remarks do not form backbiting. For instance, a friend may say to another friend, you are very ungrateful, you know, you are very unfaithful. But he's joking with him. Then, in another gathering later, the friend refers to him when he is mentioned there, and he says, how can we rely on that unfaithful fellow? Now, the word unfaithful is such that a stranger hearing this would certainly mind it. In friendship, however, this is not normally displeasing. Thus, if one is confident that his friend will not mind it, they are close friends, and his friend will not mind it when he hears of the remark, then it does not amount to backbiting. But if there is possibility that he might not like it and feel bad, then it must be understood to be disallowed. Such humor is not allowed. We learn something more from this. Sometimes friends who are close to each other and on intimate terms pull each other's leg and they make fun. They do not intend to trouble anyone, but some people do not like it. Seeing this, the others are prompted to make more fun of him. So friends are joking among themselves and joking on a particular person, and in the gathering now other people start to make joke on the same person too. Then although they mean no harm, yet one of them dislikes that they tease him. So their fun making is not allowed. It is not lawful to tease a Muslim or do something that he dislikes. Once he dislikes it, it is not allowed. Friends are okay and it's no problem. We like brothers, it's no problem in that. Everything is cool. But it is not lawful to tease a Muslim or do something that he dislikes. However, if a friend is certain that the other is so very intimate and so close to him that he will not mind a little leg pulling remarks, he wouldn't mind that. He's certain about that. But in fact, on the contrary, his friend will rather enjoy them. Then it is allowed, it is permissible and jais to pass those remarks on his face and behind his back. So to summarize it, in short, there are three possibilities. Number one, if there is a certainty that he would dislike the remarks, then the remarks should not be passed. It is haram. Two, if there is a possibility that he would dislike the remarks, then too it is not proper to pass remarks and it is unlawful. So it's haram when there is certainty that he won't like it, he would dislike it. It is also not proper and it is unlawful if there is a possibility that he would dislike the remarks. The third situation is jais. If it is certain that he would not mind that little leg pulling remarks, he won't mind, he's certain about that, then it is allowed and jais to pass the remarks. The end of the sixth sitting next day, inshallah. The seventh sitting, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.